Welcome to the Build Your Business Better podcast, where we talk about the art and science of running a successful business. I'm your host, Andrew Biernick. Today's guest is Michelle Pedzik. She is currently the Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer at Canandaigua National Bank. She serves on the Canandaigua Board of Education and is the chair-elect of the Canandaigua Chamber of Commerce. She also chairs the Leadership Ontario Steering Committee, which I'm actually super pumped to be a part of this coming year, and is the co-chair of the New York Banking Association, and that's the Human Resources Committee that she serves on. She received the Rochester Business Journal's Women of Excellence Award, was a 2008 recipient of the Rochester 40 Under 40 Award, and was nominated for the Canandaigua Athena Award in 2016. And actually, she was just honored with another recent award. Actually, since I wrote this, she was honored with the HR Exec of the Year for Outstanding Business Partnership. She lives in New York with her husband, Keith, and they have a daughter, Sophie, who attends Colgate University. Michelle, thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Andrew.
Now, one of the things that I want to talk a little bit about today, especially with Canandaigua National Bank and some of your experience with human resources, is positive corporate culture. That's something that I can definitely tell just by social media and even just walking into the bank or interacting with people from the bank. It's very obvious that it's a great place to work, that there are good people doing good work. So we hear about the idea of culture. What does positive culture mean to you and the bank?
Well, first, thank you for saying such nice things about CNB. And we do pride ourselves on having an exceptional corporate culture. And I think about culture as those norms or unwritten rules or really just that feeling you get when you come to work each day. How does that feel to you? And so we work really, really hard on our culture. It's definitely an active process, not a passive process, and focus on things like open communication and making sure that employees have a sense of belonging and feel like they have a safe space to go to, which is all, I think, really critical components of a positive corporate culture. You want your employees to feel like they're cared for.
Absolutely. So the idea of the HR department in charge of kind of overseeing that in a lot of ways and making sure that that corporate culture lives up to the certain standards. How do you, I guess, enforce that culture? How do you ensure that people adopt that? And what happens when people aren't really playing along?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we have a whole bunch of different things that we do. We actually do a lot of internal surveys. We do an annual corporate culture engagement survey that we can take a look at right down to the branch level to figure out how people are feeling when they come to work. And also particularly through the last 18 months with the pandemic, we've also been doing regular pulse surveys that check in on employees. So that gives us some hard data to take a look at and really go and explore those areas where people are feeling really great and what's working there. And more importantly, those areas where people aren't feeling engaged and trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, there's always lots of different reasons when things are going well or when things are not going well. It could be as simple as there's some pandemic stress or, you know, knows somebody that's been recently diagnosed with COVID, for example, or some other personal issue. I think the concept of manage by walking around is really important in trying to make sure our managers are really checking in with our employees to help kind of keep an eye, you know, help be the culture keepers, so to speak. And it's at a culture like ours, it's pretty apparent when someone isn't really fitting in from the perspective of not following our core values, or, you know, that might be things, you know, a quick example is someone's late to work all the time, or is just not vested in what they're doing. They're not engaged. We have ways to follow up with them and either give them some support and sometimes that support is giving them some support for other options.
Right. Now, you mentioned a survey or, you know, multiple types of surveys you guys have done. What are some of the key questions that you guys really dive into as far as what are some of the, I guess, the telltale ones that can give you the most insight into some of your employees?
Oh, great question. One of the questions we ask in almost all of our surveys is, what's your stress level on a scale of 0 to 10? And with an open-ended question on what's stressing you out? Because sometimes there's things that we can absolutely help with in a real direct way from the work perspective. And sometimes there's things that we can't necessarily help directly, but we can provide additional tools for those employees. And that could be something like a session on mental health during the pandemic or counseling support that we can send people to. So I think that those are some you know, really good ways that we can kind of take a look at the, you know, the metrics around that. But I think also most importantly is we ask open-ended questions like, what questions do you have for us? What can we do to better support you in the workplace? And that's really where we get the rich data, is having people have the opportunity to have a voice, particularly a voice with senior leadership that they know is going to read the survey, has been really, really helpful, particularly during the pandemic, because you know, employees need information, even if our information is we're not sure what we're going to do next, but we hear you and we're working on this, is really key.
Yeah, that's huge. And I really have a lot of sympathy for people who have been in leadership positions this past year, year and a half, because it has been a tremendous amount of extra stress in attempting to balance and do the right thing from a legal perspective, do the right thing from a social perspective, do the right thing from a professional perspective, to really keep everything in balance, keep people safe, keep people healthy, and do your best to keep things running. And so kudos to you guys for doing a good job and keeping the team along with you through all of that. That's a big piece too.
I was just going to say, just to build on what you just said, it's really a team effort. And part of that effort is making sure we are each taking care of ourselves as well. Because sometimes when leaders are in really stressful situations, you worry about everybody else but yourself, and you take care of yourself last. And we really are trying to make sure people are using really good self-care, which may be as simple as making sure they're taking their vacation.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. I know a lot of people, it's kind of been the all hands on deck type of feeling. And it's sometimes like, okay, things are functioning now. Maybe you need to take a little second, dial back, recover, recoup, come back with your full speed again.
You got it.
Now, what are some signs that a company has a great culture? What are some things that people should look out for?
Yeah, you know, I think some of the signs are things like, you know, do you have a manager that cares? Remember, there's a lot of, when people leave organizations, they often leave supervisors and not actually the organization. So, you know, feeling like you have trusted leadership and fair pay, open communications, well-being support. I mean, we work really, really hard at CNB on our wellness program, which is beyond just physical fitness and encouraging that, which is clearly very important, but that emotional and social and even financial support from a well-being perspective. And really that commitment to, when we talk about it from the perspective of making sure people feel this sense of belonging, but that's a sense of belonging related to even diversity, equity, and inclusion pieces as well, right? So we want people to feel, no matter what shape, size, what you look like, what your background is, where you grew up, that you feel like you belong. And so those are all, when companies are focusing on those things, their culture tends to be healthy.
Let's actually dive into that real quick. That's definitely a hot topic and definitely something that is of note and worth making sure people are focused on as far as diversity, equity, inclusion, following through on all of that and not just paying it lip service, right? Not just like, oh, yes, we do that. But how do you make sure that it is a part of the culture? How do you make sure that it is embedded in the company?
Yeah, that is really a key focus area for so many companies these days. I mean, just by looking at any current event, you know, pick up the newspaper or go online to any news source, you'll see all kinds of headlines that are really disturbing. We really tried to build it into our foundation by providing education, by providing training opportunities, for example, on understanding your biases, because we all have biases in some ways. understanding what a microaggression is. And those are those little things that sometimes are said that people don't realize that they can be harmful to the receiver. Like, for example, if I ask somebody who in appearance looks Asian, where are you really from, right? That might be an example of a microaggression. To really taking a look at what are we doing in our communities from a volunteerism perspective? Where are, you know, how are we encouraging our employees to go out into the community and support organizations they care about? And where are we as a corporation spending our dollars? Those are all different pieces of how we work on DEI, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we sometimes now are adding that B for belonging onto that equation and really trying to make sure that we are doing our part in sharing information and then letting employees figure out how they want to engage.
Yeah. And I actually bring up a great point. It kind of reminds me of an old quote, you show me your calendar, you show me your checkbook or bank statement, you know, whatever we want to look at it, and I'll tell you what's important to you. You know, where are you putting your money? Where are you putting your time? That is what you value. And so I think you guys have done a great job of putting time, putting effort, putting money into things that incorporate that. So fantastic. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. Yeah, you got it. We're going to dive into kind of pandemic. So we kind of alluded to some of that a little bit. So we are in August now of 2021. We're seeming like we're getting better, but it's almost like we're getting a little bit worse again. So as far as transitioning out of pandemic or hopefully out of pandemic, what considerations should be top of mind for businesses?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I love that you use the word transition because we, with the pandemic, are in a continued state of transition. So we take a couple steps forward and it feels like now we're taking a couple of steps back. So we are really at CMB, and I know like a lot of organizations are trying to balance the performance, you know, what we need to get done at our organization to really take care of our community and our customers with humanity. You know, what should we be thinking about in terms of our employees to make them feel safe? And CMB is in an interesting situation where we absolutely have frontline employees, our tellers, our operational staff that have to be on site. They don't have a choice. We need them to be on site to serve our customers versus some of our other employees who may have the ability to work in some type of hybrid schedule. So that's really what we are working through as we move into the fall. Huge transition coming up with kids going back to school. And we know that that is causing a lot of stress for our employees. So we're trying to be sensitive to balance out that performance and humanity. You know, when do we want people to really come back in a couple of days a week for those that have the ability to work remote versus, you know, how are we going to work through parents that have issues with daycare because there's an exposure or those other things. So our real focus is we try to keep it real. We try to communicate regularly. We have a town hall that we do regularly where anyone in the company can dial in, and it's with myself and Frank Hamlin, our CEO. We call it Frankly Speaking because he's a real direct straight shooter. And we'll go over, here's the issues we just saw in the survey, and here's the concerns and the worries. Here's what we're doing to address things and some things you need to think about. So it is really, really tough right now for organizations to work through all of this. So one day at a time, and we're really, you know, there's this phrase, you're building the bridge as you walk on it. We are still building the bridge as we walk on it.
That is 100% true. And the word transition, I think, worked very well because it's almost like continuous transition right now. And I think that causes some continuous stress for many people who are not sure what's coming next, what they have to do next, what mandates or regulations are going to change, and how they're going to need to adapt to that. Now, one thing you mentioned in the town hall, which I thought was fantastic, was actually addressing some of the points that people make in the surveys. I think it's so easy as a corporation or as a business to take a survey to get to know your employees or have an open, you know, spot where people can leave comments and then just kind of never cover it, never go over it, never really actually do anything with it. And tell me, I guess, a little bit more about what that conversation looks like, and I guess how you guys use the data you gather within a town hall setting.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we do rely on these pulse surveys really heavily to kind of get the pulse of the people. And there's a little pre-work for myself in terms of, you know, I organize the questions and the topics together. And then Frank and I, in a Q&A format, go back and forth. Here's, this came up, you know, what's your thoughts on this? And we go through and hit all of the hot topics. And some of them are things that can be a little bit touchy, but we figured if we don't do that in a really straightforward way, then, you know, we're not trying to hide anything. Sometimes we just don't know, you know, we don't know what the, you know, what the rates of transmission are going to be when school starts. Right. So we have to be patient. We also, during those town hall meetings, always have the opportunity for people in real time to chat in questions or even come on live onto the virtual meeting and ask a question. So that takes a little bit of courage and resiliency for Frank and I to kind of go with the flow on what may come in. But, you know, honesty is always the best policy, and that's really our approach. And I think that keeping it real makes people feel more comfortable in a lot of ways, because we're not trying to have these cookie cutter answers and fit everybody into the same space, because everyone's situation is slightly different and slightly unique. So it really is a very, very powerful and interesting process to go through. Sometimes humbling from a leadership perspective, because we don't always get it right. You know what, you know, we were really, I'll give you an example. We were really for a while saying, boy, people working virtually, this is working out great. We don't see any reason why a lot of people can't work virtually all the time or most of the time. Well, what started to happen is people started to come back into the organization. We missed that team building and that interpersonal connection. So now we're taking more of a balanced approach, and that can be unsettling for some people who've gotten comfortable at home, but we're working through it. And I think as long as we keep explaining the why, that's really the key.
And that's huge. One thing that you touched on was the idea of transparency. And I think in society at large and in any type of organization, especially as it starts to get larger, as there's more layers, that transparency starts to disappear a little bit, or at the very least, it isn't translated very well. It doesn't work its way down the chain as well. And I think by being open and by being willing to be vulnerable and share and address uncomfortable issues and be open to taking on issues that you may not have a prepared answer for, that I think is a huge deal, because I think too many people want to have all the right answers and they're not going to give an answer until they have all the right answers. And so often they never give an answer. You know, they never put out the information. Yeah. And too many times people are left in the dark and they start imagining things, and they tend to imagine the worst. They imagine that people are working against them instead of working for them. So I think it's fantastic, and kudos to you guys for keeping such a transparent and open environment.
Thanks. And I will tell you, you have to also expect the unexpected. One of the funniest things that happened is one of these town halls is Frank's cat, because he was on from home, started to climb all over him, you know, and so all of the chat messages were coming in, you know, were focused on his cat. And it was just, it was really, you know, that sometimes you have to laugh and have a sense of humor when things are tough. But, you know, we try to keep, that's part of keeping it real.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fantastic. We're going to switch gears again a little bit. One thing I know you personally excel at is networking and relationship building. I've seen it in action. I've seen networking events, and it seems like you know everybody that's going on, and you can interact with almost anybody. So within that vein, how do you build up your personal network?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I've worked really hard on this over time. I think for me, one of the best things you can do is volunteer somewhere for a cause that you really love. Because if you're trying to network because you're supposed to, or you feel like an obligation to, it's much harder. But if you're participating in organizations, whether it is, for me, you know, I'm passionate about public education, and I'm passionate about the community of Canandaigua. So there's a couple of choices I made about boards to serve on. It doesn't feel like work most of the time. You know, sometimes there's obviously work involved, but when you kind of link up what you care about to what you're doing, then that networking kind of comes naturally for some of us. I also think because, and, you know, partly it's probably because of all my years in human resources and just kind of how I was brought up, that helping others and connecting people is the way to move through challenges much easier. So I always have it in the back of my mind when someone is talking about something they may need or a challenge they have, who do I know that I might be able to connect them with to help them? So I think that kind of servant leadership mindset is really important when you continue on in a leadership role. But I also think that just in terms of a kindness and being involved in your community role, it's really important too. And you do over time start to get to know so many different people, which for me fills my cup. I love talking to people, figuring out how they tick, what they love, you know, what they love to do, and really figuring out if there's a way that I can help.
Yeah. And you mentioned the idea of connecting. I guess talk me through what it looks like to connect somebody with somebody else. How do you do that in a way that doesn't feel like weird, pushy, but actually just, you know, kind and helpful?
Yeah. So the good news for me is I don't have any pressure to be in a sales role in any kind of way, shape or form. Right. So sometimes I think people who are in sales roles have different styles on how they sell. So for me, I think there's not so much pressure from that part of the equation. So really for me, it's just about what needs do people have and how can I help match them up? And sometimes it's as simple as saying, hey, you know, what's going on? How are you really doing? What's going on in your life? And, oh, I didn't realize that you were starting a new podcast. I have probably a list of people that if you're looking for some people to talk to, let me know. And I'm happy to make a phone call or connect you by email, right? That would be a real life example for you as you work through your journey. And it doesn't take any time for me. Right. And it's kind of one of those win-win situations. If someone else gets a little airtime and gets to talk about something they love, that's great. So, you know, I think it's about just genuineness. And, you know, I have no secret end game when I'm out in the community relationship building or trying to connect people. It's just, I'm just kind of doing it like, hey, this seems like it's the right thing. Or, oh, yeah, I know somebody.
No, and that's actually that last little piece, that last little nugget is a piece of gold, because that's the best advice that I was ever given as far as being out in the community is be out there to serve. Don't be out there to get. Understand that by serving, perhaps at some point, you will receive, and go out there with that heart for service and help. And eventually, in some way, in some backwards way, it'll come back. And you may end up serving in ways that are unrelated to you professionally. Maybe one of your hobbies or something you're really good at in a different realm is a way that you end up helping somebody else. So for me personally, in the fitness industry, a lot of times if I mention that, people get all weird. You know, people are like, oh yeah, I love fitness. Or they say, oh, I just had a soda today, you know. And it's like this guilty conscience a lot of times when I mention any type of fitness or health stuff. And so a lot of times I'll just try and just talk about, you know, non-fitness and health stuff, just because a lot of people just get really uncomfortable about it. And so, you know, to that point, the idea is just be of service, be of help. And that's probably the best way to connect with people.
I love that you said that. I think sometimes I call that true confessions, right? So someone, you know, it's the same thing when you work in human resources and someone finds out, you know, you're the head of HR, you know, they're like, oh, well, you know, I was on my best behavior when I was at work. Or it's just, you know, you have to find some humor in that, right? You're not their boss, or you're not their keeper, or, you know, their conscience, right? So it's pretty funny.
It is quite funny to have to help people work through that. Yeah. Well, I guess kind of in closing and wrapping everything up, are there any final thoughts you have for people that are in business or people that are working through this challenging time? Any closing pieces of advice you'd have?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of tying all of these topics together. We are in a community that is extremely supportive, and we need to reach out to our peers or other organizations more. You know, if someone has a question or is wondering, you know, what is CNB doing, they should absolutely reach out to me. There's a couple of community members that will call me on occasion, and they're completely smaller organizations, really don't look anything like CNB, but our issues are still always going to be the same issues and challenges, just on different scales in some occasion. So I think that we have this unique opportunity to lean on each other. And that really is the heart of what our community is about, I would say, from a big picture perspective anyway, and is the right thing to do.
Fantastic. Michelle, thanks for joining me today.
You bet. Happy to be here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Build Your Business Better podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell so you'll be notified every Thursday when a new episode drops. What's going on, Grow Getters? Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you hit subscribe. This is going to automatically download the newest episodes for you, because let's be honest, you know this is your favorite show. It's also going to help this show get in front of more people. Subscribes are the biggest metric that they use in order to push this in front of a new audience. If you want to do me another huge favor, you could leave me a review. Let me know why you tune in. What's been intriguing for you lately? What have you been learning? In this most recent episode, what was something that stood out for you? Please. Leave that review. And thanks for being on this journey with me. Andrew hopes you have enjoyed this program.